It's always a blessing to be here, and even more snow when it's not really snowy outside, getting out on the road in the early mornings. So there are bottles in the back because it is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and they'll be here for, you know, change and dollars and bills, whatever, until February 18th on Sunday. And then we'll enjoy seeing one of you come and return them to CareNet. So I'm really pleased to be able to have some time. I know a few years ago I was only supposed to have like 5 or 10 minutes, and after 20 minutes, David was ready to cut me off. But I've got the whole time this time. I'm going to do an update, but first, we're also part of Heartbeat International. That's where we get our 24/7 hotline now. And the president recently had a short article that I wanted to share with you. It's titled, Pregnancy Help, Ministers, Missionaries, or Activists, with a question mark. And, you know, CareNet is one of 3,000 pregnancy help centers and maternity homes that we have in our country. And this is what the president of Heartbeat International wrote. What are we? Are we ministers, missionary, or activists? The New Testament Greek uses several different words that get translated into English as minister, ministering, or ministry. Sometimes it's used in a way that describes practical help for those in need. Sometimes it's used to reflect an official liturgy or office. In the letter from the Apostle James, we see that pure and undefiled religion is to visit orphans and widows in their distress. Abortion today creates cultural widows. Unexpectedly, pregnant women abandoned in their time of need, and cultural orphans, the unborn that are deemed unwanted or worse. It is the call of pregnancy help ministry to visit these widows and orphans and minister to them in their distress. So yes, we are ministers, but are we missionaries? The thrust of the whole New Testament about missionaries, or those who are sent, Jesus himself was sent by the Father. The Apostle Paul talks about numerous travels to speak the gospel that we know were his missionary journeys. All of us are commissioned to go into all the world proclaiming the truth. Both traditional and modern missions are motivated by unreached people groups. Today, that can make us think of some secluded tribe elsewhere in the world. But as we've already seen, abortion in our land has created cultural widows and orphans who represent a group desperately needing the truth of the gospel of life. This people group includes those right near where we live. So yes, we are missionaries as well as ministers, but activists? Pregnancy help can be traced back to the times of the Romans, who discarded some babies shortly after birth for being weak, disabled, or the wrong gender. Christians would hide near the river and rescue these unwanted newborns who had been tossed into the water to drown. Yet pregnancy help goes back even farther to the Hebrew midwives in Scripture. The Hebrews were blessed by their covenant with God Almighty while in Egypt. This continued even after a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. This new king feared the strength of the Israelites and began to oppress them, even to the point of ordering that their newborns be killed. The Hebrew midwives actively defied the edict of the new king, saving countless babies and families. Unfortunately, there are modern kings, elected officials, appointed bureaucrats, or titans of tech in our culture who have the same spirit as the king of Egypt. Like them, they have changed laws, reinterpreted regulations, or altered algorithms to uphold their power. Namely that of the abortion industry and ideology. They even have gone so far as to outright attack pregnancy help ministries and missionaries alike. Our opposition is working overtime to take on its biggest threat, pregnancy help. They have been engaged in an information war against pregnancy help organizations with their fake clinic attacks. We've had the Grandmothers for Reproductive Rights out in front of our center picketing us. More recently are the vaguely written, unsubstantiated laws about so-called deceptive practices intended to create suspicion, sow doubt, and scare supporters. I'm going to reference that in my update because we had that opposition and God took care of it in a beautiful way. The power of big abortion was not content with allowing the pregnancy help movements and its ministries and missionary activities to go unmolested. In effect, they've turned our compassionate, caring outreach into activism against the abortion culture of today. They are intentionally creating shifting sand through their lies, half-truths, and direct attacks. Yet, we are faithfully standing on the rock. Amen. So that I was finding actually very encouraging because we have experienced much of that here in Maine already. But I'm here to talk about CareNet in particular and to update you on Lifehouse, which, you know, it was just a year ago we signed the paperwork so that Lifehouse, you know, we could buy the home. And it has been such a challenging yet blessed year. Because, of course, when you buy an 1899 property, there's a million and one things that need to be done. And yet we've been able to welcome our first mother, our first baby, and even to hold a dedication ceremony for the baby. So God has truly blessed us richly. So here are the statistics. In 2023 at CareNet, we had 195 contacts at our center and 23 new clients. These included one-time pregnancy test or ultrasounds, ongoing material support, clothes, maternity, baby, diapers, wipes, parenting classes, and post-abortion support. Our website, carenetme.org, received more than 1,300 unique visits, with the average time being over a minute on our site. And today, we actually see fewer people, young people coming through our doors, but many, many using the website. So these are the statistics, but what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? So we're going to go back to last January. Last January, we were blessed with the ability to help one of our church liaisons provide baby items for three different immigrant families. Throughout the year, we did this when needs were brought to us by different individuals and groups. We prayed for the safe delivery of our mom due in August, and she delivered a healthy baby girl. We also prayed for the college student who was adamant that an abortion would have been her only option if her pregnancy test had been positive. It wasn't. We praise God for the couple whose pregnancy test was positive and chose life for their little one. You know, after meeting every other Sunday afternoon at CareNet for 3 years or via Zoom during COVID, Lifehouse Maine closed on a maternity home for single mothers last January 30th. Some of you were able to attend our open house there this last summer. We welcomed our first mother in July, and her little one was born in August, with two of our Lifehouse board members there for support. Although CareNet and Lifehouse Maine are two separate nonprofit organizations, we are sister ministries that overlap and assist each other as we bring our good Lord's hope, help, and healing to women in their time of need. And since then, we have got Lifehouse Maine, I'm on the board of directors there, we have gotten requests at Rockport at their pregnancy center and also down in Portland. There are other groups wanting to start homes for single moms because the need is very great. In January, we also prayed for protection for the 13 pregnancy centers in Maine being targeted by some of the state legislature during their last session. That bill was withdrawn. This is kind of the miraculous thing. Actually, it is the miraculous thing. That bill was withdrawn when the directors of Hope House in Lewiston invited three of the legislators to visit their pregnancy center that has expanded into a food and clothing pantry to help meet the needs of the growing immigrant population up in Lewiston. The legislators visited it on a Saturday when 70 families were there receiving services. One of the legislators asked Jan Wilson, who is a midwife and the founding director along with her husband Bruce, why she wouldn't at least refer a person for an abortion. Jan told them, as a midwife, she had seen the consequences of abortion, both physically and mentally, on the women she has served, and she cannot, in good conscience, direct a person to an abortion clinic. Following that visit, the legislators withdrew their bill that targeted pregnancy centers throughout Maine the next week. God was protecting the pregnancy centers here in Maine through that visit. In February, we praise God for the two pregnant moms who chose life and the safe delivery of the mom who came to us in her ninth month. We prayed for spiritual protection over a new client and her child. We prayed for healing for Amy, our sonographer, for Tammy, our board chair, and our director's husband, Joel. All are dealing with major ongoing health challenges that continue to follow them into this new year. In March, we heard from a former client who wrote, quote, "I just wanted to say thank you for all your help years ago when I was a first-time mom with my daughter. I'm married now to a really good guy, and we just had a baby boy 2 months ago." And then one of our team members that same month, working with an immigrant family needing baby items, shared a text she received from the father. He said, "What you and your community companions have been doing for my family is undoubtedly an act of pure love for others. May God bless you always." We prayed for our team members working in area schools coming to us for our life-affirming information to share, and prayers for their pregnant students making life decisions that will impact them for the rest of their lives. We prayed for our medical director, Dr. Garth Miller, who has taken on more responsibilities as he serves not only our pregnancy center, but the ones in Rockport and Waterville, too. I know some of you know him, and he's really great. So, we're up to April. In April, we thank God for our mom who chose life under hard circumstances, and for the young woman whose eyes were opened to the need to protect life. We had an interesting request from one of our business supporters. His company was helping a doctor in Guatemala working with mothers whose babies were experiencing low birth rate. The doctor thought the issue was in the grain staple of the mother's diet. To test his theory, he sent breast milk samples from Guatemalan mothers and needed a half dozen breast milk samples from women here in the United States to use as a control group. Our donor asked if we could supply his company with a half a dozen samples for the control group. I got the word out to both our clients and team members, and we were able to provide the samples that he needed. That was a lot of fun. It's kind of like a challenge. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Not everyone is blessed to be a grandmother. This year, we received donations from two women who had been saving baby items for their future grandchildren. Their children are now older, and they realized they wouldn't be having grandchildren, so they passed along their treasured baby items to us. In May, we praise God for the teen parents who chose life thanks to the support of their family and church friends. We also praise God for the Knights of Columbus support for our pregnancy centers and those throughout Maine. The Knights have not only provided our center with a new ultrasound machine, but also the pregnancy centers in Rockport, Lewiston, Waterville, and Portland. They are very pro-life. In May, we prayed for the woman who tested positive but was abortion determined, for the single mom seeking parenting classes and a church family, for the stay-at-home father of a toddler seeking support, and for the mom and dad wanting to be pregnant after two miscarriages, but their test came back negative. May 1st, more than 1,000 pro-life Maine people went to Augusta, with over 675 testifying before the Judiciary Committee against LD 1619, a bill that would allow abortion up to birth for any reason here in Maine. It was a historic day at the Maine State House that received very little press coverage. I was so blessed to take part as I shared my own testimony with the committee at 2:30 a.m. on May 2nd. Sadly, the bill passed by one vote, and the only reason it passed was because they had to recess for a half an hour that turned into a five-hour recess, as they had to call people back that weren't there to vote to say, you need to get back here because we're going to lose if you don't. And they ended up passing it by one vote. Tomorrow, January 22nd, there's going to be a proposal before the Judiciary Committee to add reproductive autonomy to our state constitution. And so I know a lot of people, myself included, will be up there tomorrow. It's really hard living here in Maine. You know, since Roe v. Wade was overturned, 14 states have really strengthened their pro-life laws and helping women with consent and stuff, but Maine sadly has gone in the other direction. So we continue to pray for our legislators and the people of Maine. May they fully understand the important truth that we are all made in God's image. He has stamped his name on our hearts and breathed his life into our lungs. In June last year, we praised God for our new little one, born early but doing well, and for the donation of new baby monitors for our baby boutique. We prayed for the new mom leaving the hospital with no stable housing whose baby went to DHS, and for another pregnant teen who didn't show for their appointment, and for the woman in her late 40s whose pregnancy test was positive. In July, we praise God for the opportunity to share our fetal models at summer VBS programs and give updates like this one that I'm doing to our supporting churches. We received a call from a mom going through a miscarriage and the blessing of being able to pray with her over the phone. We prayed for our two moms due in August and another dealing with a high-risk pregnancy. We prayed for and encouraged our mom who made the hard decision to allow her little one in foster care to be adopted, and that is truly an act of love and so very hard. We continue to give out countless diapers and wipes, and whenever we put the need out for certain sizes, our CareNet team always comes through. This last year, I wrote in one of the prayer and praises that we needed like size 3 and 5 diapers. So I come in next week and Sue Morley says to me, oh, there's been a donation. And I go out back and literally, it was piled, just piled. It was amazing. We were able to share some of them with the Hope House Pregnancy Center too. In August, we praise God for the safe delivery of one of our moms and for the first baby born at our sister ministry, Life House Maine. We connected again with two thriving families whose lives we were blessed to touch during their unexpected pregnancies. I was out at the Topsom Fair and I saw the lady, and I remember they'd gone through such a hard time, she and her husband. And she looked at me and I looked at her and I went over and she goes, I thought it was you. And she goes, we are so glad we had this baby and his older siblings just love him so much. We're going to have another baby. It was like, oh, that's great to hear. We prayed for our mothers who are struggling financially, emotionally, and spiritually, and for our fathers taking parenting classes, wanting to be the best they can be for their children. We started praying for and continue to pray for a new nurse manager for our ultrasound program. Sue Flake has faithfully served as the nurse manager for our ultrasound program since its inception in 2016. She is retiring and looking to train another registered nurse who feels called to this part of the CareNet ministry. Actually, if you know anybody, we are looking for a nurse, and it is a volunteer position at this time, but a nurse who would be willing to train for the ultrasound program, and also we would like to add a very limited STI program. you know, sexually transmitted infections for testing, because that would draw young people in, and then if there is a pregnancy, they would know about us, you know, and know about our center. In August, we gave a big thank you to all the churches and individuals who participated in our two baby bottle fundraisers in 23. The money raised pays for our rent and utilities so we can share the light of Jesus with all who walk through our doors. In September, we praise God for our mom who had come to us considering abortion, who chose life but was fearful of her future, who a year later is finding so much joy in her child. Such a blessing. We are inspired by our ageless donors. One is 90 and sewing attractive bags for our moms. Another is knitting hats for our babies at 84 and still riding her motorcycle. I know, I'm inspired. We prayed for another 40-year-old mom in for an ultrasound with an unexpected pregnancy. We no longer call them unplanned, as we know God has a plan and a purpose for each person. We pray for the group Grandmothers for Reproductive Rights as they continue to target our center with misinformation about our services. In October, we praise God for the opportunity to share information about our services with a class of students at the Brunswick High School and another area high school teacher reaching out to us for one of their students. We are encouraged by the businesses and service people we are involved with at the center. You know, people will come in and not always know what we all do. And when they find out that we are, you know, helping women, supporting women, you know, they thank us for our presence in the community. It's very encouraging. We prayed for the post-abortive woman who reached out to us through the 800 helpline number for healthy pregnancies and safe deliveries for our two moms just pregnant, and for a mom and dad learning to co-parent their son without conflict. We do a lot of parenting classes, and one of the reasons we do is we can do it online nowadays with the new parenting class curriculum we have, and people are really finding that helpful because a lot of our moms, they don't have transportation to get to us on a regular basis. In November, we were blessed by our November 2nd banquet, the first held since 2019. It was a special night gathering with our supporters and sharing a memorable evening. A first-time attendee texted the next day, "Thank you for inviting me to the dinner. I was impressed with all the God-loving people around." We received another text in November from one of our parenting class clients. "Life has been really good," she said. "I've really pressed into God, and he has helped me to stay sober from alcohol. And these classes are really helping me figure out my finances, and co-parenting is going so good." We praise God for housing needs being met for one of our parenting class clients, for the opportunity to give a tour and interview to an editor from the Bowdoin College student newspaper, and for the November 19th dedication of the first baby born at Lifehouse Maine. We have a sign at Lifehouse Maine that says, "A single mother who walks with God is never raising her children alone." We prayed for the woman who reached out via text, 2 weeks pregnant and seeking an abortion, for another one of our families looking to get into housing by January 1st, and for the homeless mom with three children being helped through CareNet and one of our team members. In December, we praise God for our faithful supporters who bless our moms and their families in abundance at Christmas. We have a couple who for the past few years do a secret Santa for our parenting class families by providing each a $100 gift card along with a prayer. Another young woman who started in high school and has continued the tradition through her college years asked for the sizes of two families she can shop for and bless. We prayed for a former client who is facing economic and emotional challenges who stopped by just wanting us to pray with her. Along with her family wanting to help her, we prayed for a single mom in a homeless shelter dealing with addiction issues and for our client who was raped, pregnant, and seeking an abortion. Right now, we are praying for all those who walk through our center's door or reach out to us online in 2024, that they may choose life not only for their children, but for themselves, because that's what actually goes on. When a woman is choosing life for a child, she's choosing life for herself. You know, when someone asks, how much is this going to cost, we tell them there is no cost to them because there are people in our community who care about them and their baby. Thank you for being those people and for your faithful support since the very, very beginning of this ministry. In my prayer journal, I have a few verses that sustain me, and I want to share them here with you. In Lamentations 3, 21 through 26, the prophet Jeremiah tells us, "Yet there is one ray of hope. His compassion never ends. It is only the Lord's mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh each day. My soul claims the Lord as my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him, to those who seek for him. It is good both to hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." And the prophet Samuel proclaims in 2 Samuel 22, 19, "O Lord, you are my light. You make my darkness bright." No matter what God calls us to in 2024, let us commit to keeping our eyes on him. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. His light shines through this darkness, and as the Apostle John tells us in John 1, 5, the darkness can never extinguish it. Thank you so much.